I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. There's been a lot of research lately on depression and how it can lead to other life-threatening health issues. Here at the University of Kentucky, a researcher is studying the effects of depression on one specific economic subset of the population, farm women. You'll meet her on this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Cheryl Dean Witt is a faculty member in the UK College of Nursing. She's currently researching depressive symptoms among farm women aged 50 and older and their families.
The extent of the problem is a magnitude of great proportion. In fact, it's so large now that it's caught the attention of public health officials across the world, not just in the U.S., but across the world, because so many farmers committing suicide or having high levels of depression. And mainly the studies have been just in the male farmers because it is a male-dominated area. My dissertation, I wanted to look at the female farmers. Mm-hmm. And I also looked at the farm, women who lived on the farms, because research does show that even if you just live on the farm, don't necessarily participate in the farm work, you're exposed to those factors that increase the farmer's level of depression to begin with, or the stressors, economic uncertainty, long hours of hard labor, high cost of production, low profit margins, unpredictable weather that can, or insects or disease that can affect your profit. So all members of the farm family are affected by this. And as our economic situation has been changing and government regulation changes, farmers are put under so much pressure of many audiences that they don't have a control over. So many studies have been done in the men as farmers, but not so much as the female farmers, even though we have an increase in female farmers choosing that as a career. So, yeah. But the rates are so high across the world that more research is being done.
I know this has come across my radar as a public radio listener, where I know NPR did a piece within the last couple of weeks about farmers in India and mm-hmm. the extent and scope of depression there and a spike in suicides there as well. And thinking about all the things that our farmers are facing, you know, many of us, the biggest challenge we face during the workday is, you know, maybe the AC is not really cooling our office as well as it could. And yet these are men and women who the next big hailstorm, thunderstorm, a blight of some kind can essentially destroy their life.
Their whole annual income for that year. Mm-hmm. And if the equipment they need to produce that crop, as that also, I'm not talking car value, $5,000. I'm talking $25,000, $50,000 for one piece of equipment. And now what they anticipated that they're going to pay that bill mm-hmm. with is now destroyed. Mm-hmm. So
you and I talked offline about the fact that many of our farmers in Kentucky and beyond tend to be very strong, silent people. They tend not to overshare, if you will. So there are some hurdles and barriers for farmers and their loved ones who maybe need counseling, who need help to jump that hurdle?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of barriers that go along with the mental wellness of people in rural areas in general. It is a patriarchal society, and the men tend to be very stoic, knowing that there's no need to complain. Work still needs to be done. Again, there's a stigma associated with mental illness and maybe seeking help out, especially as a male. There's a lack of providers in rural areas or access to providers. And I think we discussed earlier that even if you chose to go to provider, everybody knows that you've been down to see Dr. Such and Such because they saw your truck down there. And so what's going on? So there's a lot of barriers that go along with that. And is there an outlet? Where's the outlet for our farmers to be able to express their feelings? And that's something I hope to look into as well.
Is there any potential role in telemedicine, perhaps? Counseling from afar? Is that by telephone, by Skype, something of that nature?
There absolutely is. Of course, that we've made that available in other populations where it's been a remote area, or it'll be a population, for example, migrant workers. They're trying to make telemedicine itself more accessible for those folks who either don't have access to healthcare or are living in areas that don't have a provider nearby. So I see that as up and coming. But again, farmers are very private people, have a great mistrust of government and or sometimes professionals. So I think there's got to be a willingness, or we need to try to figure out some way to make that more acceptable within the culture.
Mm-hmm. As far as your research going forward, are there plans for not only understanding the scope of the problem, but perhaps coming up with solutions or potential solutions as well?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of, the goal is, to get into the culture, figure out exactly what the barriers are. And I'm a firm believer in getting out and doing a lot of one-on-one, because somebody behind a desk can't tell you what you may need. It's better to be able to ask, once you get to that relationship with that farmer, ask them just what would help you to be able to seek help, or what would encourage you, or what would, we've already done some studies where there's a lot of lack of social support is a barrier, discrimination. I looked at women, access to providers that we already know that are barriers, but we also need to talk to that person to see, tell us what would make you be more willing and acceptable to seek help.
As we're talking, I think back to a generation ago, and you're in my profession, in the worlds of nursing and in medicine. I remember some hostile conversations generations ago, where perhaps a physician or a nurse would express some concern about their own well-being, and sort of the predominant mentality at the time was, hey, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Oh, absolutely. Suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up, buttercup. Mm-hmm. And yet we've evolved to realize that in healthcare, that if we don't care for ourselves, there's not going to be a whole lot we can do for our patients. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help others.
Right.
And I wonder if our farming professionals are sort of coming into that world as well, of realizing that you can't do it all on your own. You really do need help at times, and there should be no stigma attached with that.
Well, just mental health in general. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do that with our school children. You've seen all the things that are happening in our school systems. And so I think mental health is becoming more of something that we're going to talk about. And the more we talk about it, I think it'll be more acceptable. But again, we're still dealing with a culture that's going to be a little bit more difficult to reach out to. You were saying something that is... Go back to something you were saying so my thought will come back.
About stigma or the fact that it used to be in medicine and nursing that we couldn't ask for help.
Yes. Well, it again, in this culture of agrarian culture, is again, it's not something that particularly farm men would seek out. However, if we can get them to realize that their mental health can also affect the development of chronic diseases.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing some, I call it like positive reinforcement or strength-based studies. So instead of dwelling on the depressive piece, what can we do to make you feel, happy? Mm-hmm. Farmers are very resilient and have high levels of coping. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be. If you work that hard every single day, not knowing how much money you were going to get or not get. And so they're very strong-willed people. And so what fills you up? What makes you feel good inside? So if we can do a lot more of building those positives up too, we want to be able to look at those items too.
Well, and I would think another positive aspect would be when you are seeking help, you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your family, for your partner as well, because they mm-hmm. can't help but be affected by you not enjoying life anymore because
Absolutely.
Of struggling with depression.
And the culture is one of a family-based environment. You work together. Many times your work is right there and the place you reside. And then as your children grow, they usually live around you, and everyone works together for a common cause. So yes, your family, so that is a good point to make sure that you encompass that.
Dr. Witt, is there anything we have not touched on that you would want our listeners to know about your current research?
No, except for the fact that very little, again, has been done with females. Because the female farmer has a very unique role when compared to the male farmer. And we have to look at them separately. Men and women are different. They respond to stress differently. They have different gendered roles within, especially the agrarian culture. So we need to look at both of those and see. And again, they feed off of each other because it's a family unit. So what are the differences between the male farmer and the female farmer? And what influence do they have on each other? How can we use them to support each other? And then how can we encourage, again, the culture, affect the culture to make sure that we have less stigma associated with seeking mental wellness?
My thanks today to Dr. Cheryl Dean Witt, faculty member in the UK College of Nursing, for talking about depression in farmers, especially in farm women. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.